Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
I went to the Oakland, San Francisco area this weekend, guys. It was our last MAV Saturday night of the year. So Fox Sports Southwest sent the whole pregame show out there. Dana and said we're out there. We did the game. It was going to be a last one. It was going to be a really big deal. Wanted to do it right. And so I was like, man, going out to San Francisco, it's one of my favorite cities. So I took a couple days off from the show Thursday, Friday, took the wife and we rolled out there and we had a whole Bay Area adventure I'll get into in a minute. But before we do that, let's talk about what actually happened Saturday night. Now, I know a lot of people were probably watching college basketball. It was a little bit earlier start. It was like a 5:30 start in California, so a 7:30 start here. So I don't know, folks back here, how much they were watching it or not. But probably everyone was thinking, all right, Mavs have been losing a lot of games. It's Golden State. They'll roll them. And the exact opposite happened. The Mavs got up at by 40 at one point. Luka almost had a triple-double. In the first half, he was three assists shy. He did end up with a triple-double, like 23 and 13 and 11. And Dirk went for a season-high 21 points in his 21st season.
That's what I do, baby.
It was his son's birthday. His family flew in for it. And, man, he looked awesome. And I don't know, Ben, if you saw the Kevin Durant quote, but he was like, I'm not saying anything special about Dirk. He still looks like he can play to me. Y'all are shoving him out the door. I'm not going to be a part of that.
Yeah, I saw that, and I appreciated that. That's the way most people should be dealing with Dirk, I think. It made me wonder if, of course, I'm looking conspiracy on everything. And I'm thinking, wait, is KD in on the idea of coming to Dallas and then Dirk sticking around and playing one more? Mm-hmm. Is KD more in the loop than anybody else and knows that he ain't done yet? Mm-hmm. I don't know. I was kind of looking for that. Even when I was seeing pictures of, you know, Porzingis talking to KD before the game, I'm like, wait a second. Look at those facial expressions. They both know that it's happening.
They know it's on.
I was conspiring all throughout this extravaganza.
Well, oh, come here, Ben.
It was an absolute ass-kicking. Mavs won by 35. And the thing that was so amazing about it is just how bad Golden State was. And they're 6-6 in their last 12 games. Steph Curry wasn't even in the building, guys. They said he was taking the day off for load management or rest or whatever. There was no Andrew Bogut, who had just signed. No Sean Livingston.
He didn't even show up, though?
Well, I mean, there's a problem. Aisha Curry had a huge birthday party Friday night, and the whole team went. And I think most of them were still drunk.
Is that kind of a shout at the Mavericks? I mean, shout at the Mavericks? Because, like, let's plan this party the night before the Mavericks get here.
They can't control her birthday, Ben. And they did have a back-to-back, so they destroyed Detroit on Sunday. So they got their mojo back. But, man, here's what's interesting. What's interesting is the Mavericks put Dirk on Draymond Green. It didn't matter. Draymond Green is terrible right now. And then defensively, I mean, it was like Dwight Powell's like, oh, I'm going to floor it and go right at Boogie. Like, I still think Golden State's going to win. They look like the best team, but they do have a few things to kind of figure out. It's kind of interesting. And so I'm wondering if some of their internal strife and defensive issues will rear their ugly head. I guess we'll see. They're the best of the best. They know how to turn it up. But the best part to me was they have this bit because this was Oracle Arena. So this is the last time the Mavericks would play at Oracle Arena. I'll give you a little nugget on that in a second. So they've been doing this history of Oracle Arena thing inside the stadium, and then they throw it to a guy in the crowd. So they show this video, and then they throw it to a guy in the crowd, and he goes, yeah, let's ask this fan what his all-time favorite moment in Oracle is. What's your name, sir? Oh, it's Steve Nash. Steve Nash stood up, who's doing consulting for the Warriors, and he had just gone out to dinner with Finley and Dirk the night before, and he said, my favorite moment in Oracle Arena history is when Dirk Nowitzki scored his first basket in the NBA in 1999, his second game. Because I don't know if you guys remember this, but his first game, it was at Seattle. and all he did was make free throws.
Okay.
And so he didn't make a bucket against Seattle. So his first field goal make was against Golden State and Oracle. So Steve Nash was there, and the crowd went crazy, and big standing ovation. And then at the end of the game, the people that were remaining, every time Dirk had the ball, they were cheering wildly for him. So it's kind of what we've seen a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But on Saturday night games, we do the walk-off interview. If the Mavericks win. Oh, my God, it looks like they're going to win. And it's our last Mavs Saturday night. So I turned to Mavs PR maven Sarah Melton. I was like, hey, can you get us Luka and Dirk? We've never asked for that before. Can we do that? You know, Dirk scored a season high. Luka had his triple-double. She's like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. So the game ends, and it's always chaos. Everyone wants to, you know, Steve Kerr is over there giving Dirk a big hug. And so she gets Dirk first while she's trying to track down Luka. And so Dirk walks over and he goes, why are we doing this? We're 15 games under 500. We're doing two people? Why are we doing this? And he's joking. And then he gave us an incredible interview afterwards. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that Luka was really dialed in on what was happening with Oracle. Because in the interview, I said something to the effect of, Dirk, this is your last game at Oracle. And Luka off mic goes, it's not his last game, baby. So I think he was thinking that I was trying to push Dirk out the door.
Oh, he didn't realize it was their last game in that stadium.
Right. But I did think it was kind of cool that his mind was set on, no.
Yeah.
There's more Dirk to come, because that's really all anybody's talking about right now, Maverick related. If it's not Luka and Trae Young Rookie of the Year, which we'll get into later in the show, it's will Dirk come back? And I think Dirk knows, hey, I'm probably gone, but I think he's leaving the door slightly open to see what happens.
Man, if you can still go for 21 in an NBA game.
Yes.
Why shut it down?
That's what I say.
I mean, if he's just starting to feel the best he's felt all year, and I'm imagining that if he's pouring in 21, he's getting looser and looser and feeling better and better.
Right.
Why rush way when you could come back for the 22nd time?
I also think, Ben, that he would be more prepared for a sporadic role.
Yeah.
Okay.
Why not just come play with Kristaps and Luka and Kevin Durant?
I thought the Townsend article last week, in which Carlisle was quoted as saying something you guys wouldn't believe the amount of needles Dirk has to put in his body to get ready to play.
It's amazing.
That was that needles? Made me go, yeah, I wouldn't come back.
Oh. Acupuncture. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Okay,
he's
so
doing
why
a lot of heroin?
I don't care. I mean, I don't understand why you can't have the old school exercise bike. Hell, have an acupuncture table, all that right on the sideline. Mm-hmm. Why can't you do whatever just to keep him loose?
I like the idea of him playing the game on an exercise bike.
I like it. Maybe, you know, and have an acupuncturist following him around trying to poke him the whole time.
Maybe he's got a bunch of needles sticking out of his body at the time he's playing.
You know, I don't understand why you can't do more to help him stay loose.
Yeah, I just think it really has more to do with it. Just took him a long time to get his ankle loose. Mm-hmm. And I think now it's finally loose. Or loose enough to where he can move more akin to how he moved last year. Like, I know it's funny. We turn on and go, oh, my God, he's a defensive liability. But, man, if you were to go back and watch him in December, it really is night and day. It is night
and
day. So that's going to be a thing that's not going to resolve itself. But I do want to throw a couple quick nuggets out there about the journey, because one of the things that the wife and I like to do is we always like to do the wine tour if we can. You can go to Sonoma or you can go to Napa. And she had booked one Friday morning, and it was the same exact guy that gave us the wine tour 2 years ago, the tour guide. He's a little small dude. But the funny thing is, 5 seconds into him picking us up, he got in his head that my name was Steve.
I love my little dudes.
And so I couldn't help but think of KT. So he called me Steve.
Who called you Steve?
The tour guide. All day long.
Oh, my God. That's
and
awesome.
Everyone who was on the tour would just cackle every time. Because this guy's Steve. Probably late 60s, early 70s. And it ended at the end of the day. Trisha and Steve, can I drop you off right here? If I have to go another block, it's going to take 15 minutes. That's great. Thanks, Frank. That's so good to see you again, Steve. I can't believe it.
Steve Wade.
Steve Wade. So Jeff Steve Wade.
It is funny the way some people are so confident with names when they have it so wrong.
Oh,
like, if I don't have someone's name, I'll go, hey, Smin. Dude, what's up? What's up, bro? How you doing, man? I'll do anything but confidently say some name I think it might be.
Right.
It's a bold move.
That's why, hey, dude.
Yeah.
Give him the dude or the bud or the chieftain.
But somehow some guys are just wired to where They'll aggressively go with the name that's wrong.
Yeah, and if a cat's got a name that's like a Rex or like a, you know, it's a really out there name, it's more easy to remember.
Right.
I'm not saying this guy should have remembered you from 2 years ago, but your name is Skin. That's not hard. If you say my name is Skin, and I'm not going to forget that very quickly. If you say Steve or John or Roger or Frank and or Larry or Gary or Jerry
or Mitch,
those are all kind of the basics.
Right.
Mitch kind of stands out a little bit.
Okay. I've never had anybody think I'm Steve if I said Skin. I think people think Stan. I've had people call me Stan before.
Stan?
Hey, it's me, Stan.
What?
But one of the most interesting developments of the trip was I got a random text message from Kavanaugh, and him and his girlfriend Amanda were out there the same weekend. So after the Mav game, Oracle Arena's in Oakland, me and my wife met up with Kavanaugh and Amanda and the great Sean Hudgens, Hudgy Bear.
Oh.
The great intern of the Ben and Skin show that was board op, he replaced Shippy on KNC Masterpiece. He lives in Oakland. We got to kick it in Oakland with a 105.3 The Fan crew, and Hudgy Bear was in Oakland repping a 105.3 The Fan shirt. Yes,
former member of the KNC Masterpiece. Before that, a intern on the Ben and Skin show, Sean Hudgens.
Former MVP of the KNC Masterpiece. He had the greatest goodbye bit of all time.
He roasted everyone.
Yeah.
So he said that... he said that he's running a coffee shop now, and he's the guy in charge. And so he has people underneath him that he manages, and they somehow found his old sports rants online. And so sometimes he'll be telling someone what to do, and they will be listening in their little AirPods.
I'm Sean Hudgens with your 105.3 The Fan on-air personality scouting report. Let's start with the G-Bag Nation. Gavin Dawson, you might be the only motherfucker in the world that can make me sound exciting, and that's pretty damn impressive. And oh, Jeff Kavanaugh, I drink beer and browse Tinder all day. Bull. You were the biggest closet nerd in the world. The only thing you're swiping right on is pages on your Kindle. Alex Alexander, wait, is it Lucius now? What in the fuck is your name? What are you, P. Diddy? Chris Arnold, I got you down. You can ooh-wee-dee's nuts. Speaking of that, Coach Ballsack Mike Bassick, you rap like a blind dog reading words out of a non-braille second-grade vocab test. Speaking of rap music, it's the Ben and Skin Show. Big Ben Rogers, you can always tell when he's half-assing it. He'll just start up a freestyle to pass the time. Not everyone can flow like that, Ben, especially not KT. Kevin Turner, the most awkward human at the station. I'd say he might be upset with me for saying that, but his narcoleptic ass is probably asleep at the mic. And Jonathan Shippy Shipman, I bet you think it's super cool to tell people, I play the drums. You were in drumline band, nerd. And then there's Skin, the 40-year-old whose go-to is fart jokes. Your humor is more immature than Troy Hughes' taste in alcohol. On that note, Troy, you're so down with the brothers, but you drink raspberry lemonade Smirnoff Ice like a 15-year-old white girl who snuck into a frat party. And Roy White, I'm not saying I dress GQ by any means, but your style and ability to match clothes reminds me of a colorblind homeless person who robbed a damn Goodwill. RJ Choppy, a.k.a. the Uncle Rico of the Fan. Choppy is unimpressed by all things. Here's a quote from him in his robot hair.
How much you want to make a bet I can throw a football over them mountains?
Hey, did you guys know that Sean Sharif drives a giant car, probably to compensate for his little tiny... Wait, why did I just bleep out the word hands? But seriously, guys, I didn't do much of this station or in this market that I feel left its mark. So I wanted to go out the only way that I knew how. I'll miss you guys. Now, enough with that sappy off.
Yeah! It was great to see you,
well done. What a hero.
The best part of the trip, though, guys, was the flight back. There's a documentary about people telling Bill Murray stories.
Oh, yes. Bill Murray stories on Netflix.
It's incredible. Have you seen it?
No.
So you guys know the whole
bit.
Looks
too sad.
No, dude, it's incredible. Like, he'll do stuff where he'll walk up behind someone in a urinal. He'll put his hands over their eyes and whisper in their ear, no one will ever believe you if you tell them. And the person will turn around and it's Bill Murray. And then he'll put his finger to his lips.
At a urinal?
Yes.
Do you guys remember this like 5 years ago when he was seen at a bunch of weird places? He would show up at someone's wedding.
This is what this is about.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Hold on, I'm just going to play this super quick. This is just 1 minute of the trailer, and then we'll do this later in the week. But listen to this.
Did y'all just pick him up?
It's Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, you are kidding.
There's always that one person who you want to meet, and you'd be like, this is never going to happen. And then this guy shows up at your door.
We're just about to sit down for dinner. Knock on the door.
We were having a house party, and I run inside, close the door. I was like, shh.
You're not going to believe it. Bill Murray's here.
Oh, my God. There are legions of tall tales about Bill that have circulated online throughout the years. These Bill Murray stories are random interactions with Bill and regular, everyday people. Why would such a big celebrity insert himself into these random situations?
It's like, where's Waldo?
This is a search for answers.
Bill was just fine getting lost.
You okay?
Yeah. I'm Bill, by the way.
He just reveled in not knowing where he was.
I run inside, and Bill is bartending.
He's like a candle when you light it in a room, and all of a sudden the room smells great.
He goes after little moments, charged with meaning.
He marches to his own beat.
Bill is teaching us all how to live.
Dude, it's amazing. It's only 70 minutes, so it's a super breezy watch. It's stuff like this. Like a guy's throwing a house party during South by Southwest, and the band that shows up to play it, Bill's playing tambourine in it. And then the cops get called, and he's waving the tambourine in the face of the cops, so they join the party. Like, he's at a place. There's a guy there named Trevor, and Trevor doesn't know anything about sports. He's watching basketball. Bill leaves and comes back and goes, is Trevor here? He wants to spend the day with Trevor. He joins a kickball game. He jumps in wedding photos. I mean, it's the most amazing thing. It's like all these people have stories with proof of Bill Murray just showing up, doesn't want to act. He just wants to hang out. And the theory is that life for him is one long improvisational routine. He's just improving life, basically.
Wow.
It's totally worth watching. It's only 70 minutes. It's called Bill Murray Stories.
That's what you'd want. That's what I'd want to envision him as.
It's him.
America's Guest.
And there's some really...
Have a blast. Go anywhere you want. Do anything you want because you're Bill effing Murray.
And there's some really smart commentary in it, too, from people who've written articles about him and all this stuff. But it's... The guy who made the movie kind of sucks, but the movie, just the stories are totally worth it. You've got to see Bill Murray Stories. It's awesome.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.